Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. That was beautiful. Most besetting to worshiping him. Okay, let's, we got a lot I want to cover in Revelation 21, so let's get started here. First of all, in regard to prayer, Tish doesn't mind. I'm going to start with,
Where's she at? In the parking lot.
Tish doesn't mind. I'm going to request that you pray tonight for my grandson. He is 2 years old, and he has to have it's called minor surgery, but they're going to put him totally out. And so should last about 2 to 3 hours. And so please be in prayer for the little guy. I was kind of concerned they'll take him. I would thought, well, they'll let the mother be right there through the whole surgery and everything, but they don't do that. And I was concerned about it, and they told her that no, they wouldn't take a crying baby away from their mother like that, but they give him, what was the name of it?
Goosey juice.
Goofy. And some juice, and it'll calm him, and he won't even know what's going on. And I asked, I said, well, can we get a bottle of that?
I
get a
we'll
bottle?
Need it more than he will.
Huh?
I think we're going to need it more than he will.
Yeah. But that'll be about 6:30 in the morning, so please be in prayer for Jace and the surgery, the surgeon's hands, and all that is involved in that respect. Be in prayer for Tish, her fight with cancer. Let's be in prayer for Nathan. Let's be in prayer for Bill Hess and Sharon Light as they move to Lord taking them home. And I think that I have been quiet and all enough. Be in prayer for Nate and Hazel. They're going to get married in August. And it's getting short. And so we'll just be in prayer for y'all. Wish the very best. All of that. Let's see. Any other prayer requests? Yes, sir. Oh, we know it's John Hens. Unemployment.
No, employment. He's unemployed.
Yeah. Okay. We'll be in prayer for John. And that's going around. And so, got a job, you might want to stick with it. Okay, let's begin our study. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the opportunity to come together to open up the text, to learn about the next world, the eternal state, where we will be forever. What a joy it is, Heavenly Father, to study these things. And we pray now that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things you would have us to see and understand. Father, we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Tish, we fudged on you. We started off tonight with my grandson who's going to surgery tomorrow morning at about 6:37. And so then you were right there next, and I got right back to your cancer. Good. All right. Okay. Nearly every human being thinks about after death. What about heaven? What will heaven be like? Unfortunately, most of them will not even be there to realize and know what it's going to be like. People, and they even Christians, when they think in terms of heaven, they think in terms of me, my dream, my thoughts, my hopes, my wishes. I'll be with my parents. I'll be with my husband. I'll be with my wife. I'll be with these people. I'll be here or there. It'll be like this, and there'll be animals. There'll be dogs. There'll be horses. There'll be cats. There'll be all these things going on in heaven. So they think in terms of forms and fashions of things related to the earth. Well, let me just tell you, as we go into chapter 21, heaven is about Jesus Christ. That's what the eternal state is about. Eternity is about God. When I was studying this, I looked at the little frame that I have knitted for me, God's gifts put man's best dreams to shame. And I don't care what you dream, what we all may dream about heaven, let me assure you, God's gifts are going to be far greater. That was a line out of Elizabeth Barrett Browning's sonnet. But I think it's sonnet 17. God's gifts put man's best dreams to shame. And that's what heaven's going to be. It's going to be beyond what you would dream. It's going to be beyond what you would desire. The new earth will be like something that we've never seen or dreamed of. The new Jerusalem will be beyond our imagination. Even though we're going to look at a lot of things about it, its dimensions, its building material and all of that, you just can't even imagine what it's going to be like. And so if we're going to look at the new world, now, just to refresh us, there are three worlds. Now, I was pleasantly surprised, because I've been teaching about the three worlds, the previous world, and the angelic conflict and all, the current world, and then a future world. And I read in a book this week, and I should have known it. I thought I've read it before. But maybe I wasn't in that mindset to notice it. But Lawrence wrote a book on dispensationalism, and this was he had a little section dealing with the three worlds, and whoa, great! And the main thing here that I just want you to know that I'm not totally weird. Now he and I could be totally weird together, but just want you to know that others think this the same way, so it's not like this is just something out of the hat. And we've already seen that the first world was inhabited by angels, and it's referred to in Genesis 1:1, and that was the prehistoric world. Then God submerged this earth in water, changing the format of this world with seas of water. Now, we're not told how the elect angels escaped this judgment. We're not told where they were during this time, but we're told that Satan and the fallen angels were cast into the deep and held there until God started the second world. So that brings us to the second world, Genesis 1, 2, verse 2, chapter 1, and following. Then during this time of this world, God judged it by water, killing all mankind, except eight. And we are told how the eight people escaped. We are told that God gave them an ark that they could escape on. The ark is a picture of Jesus Christ. It's a picture of salvation. So many wonderful things on how the eight people escaped this judgment. So God sent this ark, and they escaped the judgment by faith in Jesus Christ. So then the second earth is going to pass away at the great white throne judgment. And then God will bring in a new heaven, a new earth, a third world. So we have the first world as a prehistoric world, Genesis 1:1, and the fall of the angels. 1:2 begins, chapter 1, verse 2 begins the second world. After the great white throne judgment, Revelation 20, he is going to go into chapter 21 with a new third world. Again, we're not told where everyone, including us, will be kept while with the passing away of the second world, the second earth. But we know that God will protect the angels, protect all believers, just as he protected them in the ark at the demise of the second world, and actually protected the angels after the demise of the first world. So there's going to be a time where we're going to be held. I think Jim Langston called it, what'd you call it, a pin? A holy pin, yeah, holding pin. So there'll be somewhere like that at the great white throne judgment, passing away of this earth, and then the creation of a new heaven and a new earth. And God will deliver all the saints and elect angels from that judgment. Okay, now Revelation chapter 21, verse 2. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. All right, this brings us to the question, who will dwell in the New Jerusalem? Who will dwell in the New Jerusalem, dash, and the New Earth? Some people write that everybody's going to be in the New Jerusalem. Well, who's going to inhabit the New Earth then? And we know there's going to be nations. So where are they going to be? So let's take a look at who's going to dwell in the New Jerusalem. Now, same statement I've made all the way through since we started Revelation. I'm not going to say, teach you what isn't here. And if it isn't told us, I don't know. That doesn't mean it's not going to be the way some people say, but I can't say it. So let's take a look at what we can tell who's going to indwell, live in the New Jerusalem. Point one. First, it will be inhabited by the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Let's look at chapter 21, verse 3. 21:3, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. So we know that it will be inhabited by the triune God. Now, what is interesting is that no other place in Scripture declares that this is the tabernacle of God. Now we have, for example, the Holy of Holies, where he dwelled with his people, but not really among them. And so we're not have anywhere where he's going to be. This is further seen in verse 11. Let's look at verse 11 of chapter 21, verse 11. Having the glory of God. This is the New Jerusalem. Having the glory of God. Where God dwells, his glory dwells. Look at chapter 22, verse 5. There will no longer be any night. They will not have need of the light of a lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illuminate them, and they will reign forever and ever. Now we'll come and study that and who the plural is and all that. But right here, this is the place where God is going to dwell and his glory dwells. This presents what can be confusing to some and a question by all of us, I guess. God is omnipresent. How's he going to dwell there? God is spirit. How can he dwell in one place? Now, this does not distract from the omnipresence of God. But God can manifest himself in the light of his glory, and he will do so in the New Jerusalem, while at the same time, omnipresent in all places. Remember that God does not choose to be omnipresent. He is omnipresent as being God. It's one of those things that Satan cannot duplicate when he wants to be like God. Satan cannot be omnipresent. He can't even be present in two places at one time. He's a created being. But God is omnipresent because he is God. Okay, secondly, point two. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 tells us a multitude of angels will be there. So let's look at Hebrews chapter 12, and you might as well put a piece of paper or something here, because we're going to be looking at this tonight in several different respects. But right now, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. Hebrews 12:22. But you have come to Mount Zion, even to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels. So angels will be in the new Jerusalem. Point three. The church, the body of Christ, namely the bride of the Lamb, will reside in the New Jerusalem. We, you and I, this is going to be where our mansion will be. It will be in the New Jerusalem. All right, subpoint one. Revelation 3:12. Let's take a look at Revelation 3:12. Another passage that we'll have to be coming back and looking at occasionally. Revelation 3:12. Remember now, what is the subject matter of Revelation 2 and 3? The church. Okay, so we're dealing with the church. Verse 12. He who overcomes. This is overcoming the attempt of Satan in 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians, who seeks to blind us of the gospel. We overcome that and believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will not go out from it anymore. And I will write on him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven, my God, and my new name. All right, that's point one in dealing with believers of the church are specifically set apart for the New Jerusalem. Subpoint two. The bride of Christ will be there, and we are the bride of Christ. Let's look at Revelation 21, 9 and 10. Revelation 21, 9 and 10. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and spoke with me, saying, come here, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Not as clear as you can make it that we will be residing in the New Jerusalem. Look at 21 verse 2. 21 verse 2. I saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, this does not specifically say that we will be there, but you put it with verses 9 and 10, and it goes together. And look at, so with the Lamb shall dwell in the new city of Jerusalem. Is it appropriate for a bride? She is to dwell where the groom dwell. She should live with the groom. Look at 21:23. And the city has no need of the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illuminated it, and its lamp is the Lamb. So the Lamb, we're married to the Lamb, we're married to Him, and so we would reside where He would reside. Look at chapter 22:3. There will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and His bondservants will serve Him. So we will be in the New Jerusalem with the bride, and with the bridegroom. Subpoint 3. Hebrews 12, 22 and 23, which we'll read. Hebrews 12, 22 and 23 also states that along with angels, believers of the church will abide eternally in the New Jerusalem. All right, let's go back now to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12, 22 and 23. 22. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, marriage of angels, to the general assembly and church-age believers, of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect. Now we'll come to that phrase a little later. Who does that refer to? But we're right now, just look at the church, we'll be in the New Jerusalem. Subpoint 4. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 14. Hebrews 13, verse 14. For here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. We, the church, seeking the city which is to come. Point 5. Subpoint 5. Subpoint. Just giving you all the passages that we can look at and things that we can look at of who will be in the New Jerusalem. We know the triune God, myriads of angels, and now the church. Point 5, another passage that if correctly understood, is that 12 foundation stones of the New Jerusalem are the 12 apostles, which if we understand that Paul is the 12th, refers to the 12 apostles of the church. Now, I didn't write down the passage, but I think I can just take you right to it. Revelation 21. Revelation 21. Surely we'll come to that passage, and then I'll point it out to you. Verse 14. Verse 14. And the wall of the city had 12 foundation stones, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Now, if we understand that the apostles, which now, if we had the 12, got to include Paul, church age, these are the 12 apostles to the church. So the foundation is wrapped around the church. Subpoint 6. Paul looked forward to the heavenly Jerusalem for the church. Paul looked forward to the heavenly Jerusalem for the church. Hebrews chapter 12, 22, not written by Paul, but it does that. But now let's look at Galatians. Galatians Galatians chapter 4. Let's take a look. But the Jerusalem above. Let's just start it so you get the flow. Verse 25. Now this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present Jerusalem. For she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above, in heaven, already exists, is free. She is our mother. For it is written, rejoice, barren woman who does not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For more numerous are the children of the desolate than of the one who has a husband. And we studied that in the Galatians passage, but the one thing here is that this New Jerusalem, and Paul is already anticipating looking there. Subpoint 7. Perhaps this is what Paul had in mind in Philippians 3:20. Let's look at Philippians 3:20. This is not documented, but perhaps. For our citizenship is in heaven, that heavenly Jerusalem, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, this is the citizenship, heavenly, and we know we're going to reside in the New Jerusalem, perhaps citizenship of the New Jerusalem. Point 8. Apparently, since we will be in Jerusalem, and we substantiated that with Scripture, Gospel of John 14:1-3, I go to build you mansions and dwelling places where I am there you may be also, and I will come again for you. Dwelling places of the church will be in Jerusalem, so these dwelling places are, that he's building are in the New Jerusalem. Going to be a lot of dimension and height, and you can't say, well, I don't want to be up high. I want the base floor, all this kind of stuff. It's going to be unbelievable where we're going to be. Okay, so we've covered 3 points. Who's going to reside in the New Jerusalem? Point 1, the triune God. 2, myriads of angels. And 3, the church. Now we come to major point 4. What about the Jews and the New Jerusalem? Will not the heavenly Jerusalem be the fulfillment of Old Testament promises to the Jews and Jerusalem? Is not Israel promised residence in the New Jerusalem? And these are probing questions, but let's take a look at some Old Testament passages and the New Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the hope of multitudes of Jews. In fact, I read we're in the synagogue prayer. This is what the Jews pray right now today and have prayed for hundreds of years. And to Jerusalem, and to Jerusalem, the city, return with compassion and dwell therein as thou hast promised, and rebuild her speedily in our days, a structure everlasting, and the throne of David speedily established there. Blessed art thou, O Lord, the builder of Jerusalem. Just on taking that, it's a demonstration of faith, the faith of Abraham, that Abraham believed in the coming of this city, and so the very fact that they still believe that shows that they do have that belief. The problem, and you've got to also remember, when John wrote this, 96, circa 96 A.D., it's debated, but we'll just say circa 96 A.D. Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 A.D. There's no Jerusalem. The Romans came in, and it's debatable on who started the fire that actually burnt the temple, whether the Jews did so the Romans couldn't have it or the Romans did. It was not the custom of Rome to do that, especially Titus. But nevertheless, we won't get into that. But it wasn't there. Yet John writes of this new Jerusalem. And so here demonstrates a great faith. Now, whether or not the hope that they have is a Jerusalem that will be in the millennium or in the eternal state, This is up for debate. All right, let's go through some sub things here. A. First of all, the New Jerusalem is only mentioned in Revelation 3:12 and chapter 21. It's not mentioned in the Old Testament. Nowhere is there a distinction between the Old Jerusalem and the New Jerusalem in the Old Testament. What I'm doing here, there's a big debate. Will the Jews be resident in the New Jerusalem? And that's what I'm taking you through now. We're going to talk about this debate. There are those who are very adamant, oh yes, yes, yes. And there are those, not adamant, but no, they're not going to be. And then there's people like me who are wishy-washy. But I will show you some things that we need to look at in this respect. So point B, let's look for point B at Leviticus 26. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. It would be nice if we had as clear a statement as we do about the triune God, even about the myriad angels, the church, but such a statement is not there. So we're going to look through some things and see if the Jews will be in the New Jerusalem. Leviticus 26, and let's read verses 11 through 13. 26, 11 through 13. Moreover, I will make my dwelling among you, and my soul will not reject you. I will also walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. This phrase occurs in Revelation 21. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, so that you would not be their slaves, and I broke the bars of your yoke and made you walk erect. So, this is, he's going to dwell with them. Let's look at Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37. And let's read together verses 26 and 27. Ezekiel 37, verses 26 and 27. 26, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It will be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them and will set my sanctuary in their midst forever. Okay, there's that forever again. My dwelling place also will be with them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Now, as to whether or not these passages refer to the millennial kingdom or the New Jerusalem is up for debate. The fulfillment of all four covenants to Israel, including the Abrahamic covenant, the Davidic covenant, the Palestinian covenant, the new covenant, the land covenant, the throne covenant, all occurred in the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. There are a multitude of passages which we do not have time to go through, like these, that may imply to the millennial fulfillment of all of these passages given reference in the Old Testament. It is difficult to think of the millennium as the final fulfillment when we consider that the millennial kingdom ended in what? Apostasy. It ended in apostasy. And it's difficult to think that that all of these things are fulfilled in rebellion and apostasy. Okay, point C. Point C. Isaiah 54. Let's look at Isaiah 54. I had fun with my friend John. I've been, every few days, last 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, been talking to him about if the Jews would be in the New Jerusalem. And finally, he just got exasperated, and he said, "What do you care where they're going to be? You're going to be there. What are you worried about?" And but it's just oft-discussed subject. And so we just want to take a look at some things. Isaiah 54, and we want to look at verses 11 and 12. Whoop. Isaiah 54, 11 and 12. O afflicted one, storm-tossed and not comforted, behold, I will set your stones in antimony, and your foundations I will lay in sapphires. Moreover, I will make your battlements of rubies, and your gates of crystal, and your entire wall of precious stones. With that in mind now, look at Revelation 21. Revelation 21, 18 through 21. The material of the wall was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundation stones of the city. And he just goes through all these precious stones that are listed here. So some of them are repeats from the Isaiah passage. Now, but when you look at Isaiah 54, go back to Isaiah 54 now, because what some people will do, they'll take the Isaiah 54, 11, and 12, look at Revelation 21, 18 through 21, and say, pow, there it is. But let's finish the text of Isaiah 54 and show you a problem. Isaiah 54. When you look at the context here, it doesn't fit for the eternal New Jerusalem. Isaiah 54, verse 15 through 17. Let's look. Isaiah 54, 15. If anyone fiercely assails you, it will not be for me. No one's going to do this in the New Jerusalem, the eternal state. It's all over. There'll be none of this. Whoever assails you will fall because of you. Behold, I myself have created the smith who blows the fire of coals and brings out a weapon for its work. And I have created the destroyer to ruin. No weapon that is formed against you will prosper, and so forth. So, if we stay with the whole context, and it goes on and talks about they'll be invaded, this isn't going to happen in the heavenly Jerusalem. And now let's look at Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60. Excuse me one moment. Isaiah 60, and let's look, begin reading at verse 11. Isaiah 60, verse 11. Your gates will be open continually. I will rejoice. Wait a minute, let me see here. Isaiah 60, yeah, I turned two pages. I see what the problem is. Your gates will open continually, they will not be closed day and night, so that men may bring you the wealth of the nations with their kings led in procession. for the nation and the kingdom which will not serve you will perish, and the nations will be utterly ruined. The glory of Lebanon will come to you, the juniper of the box tree, the cypress together, the beautiful, the place of my sanctuary, and I shall make the place of my feet glorious. The sons of those who afflicted you will come bowing to you, and all those that despised you will bow themselves at the soles of your feet, and they will call you the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Whereas you have been forsaken and hated, with no one passing through, I will make you an everlasting pride, a joy from generation to generation. You will also suck the milk of nations, and suck the breast of kings. Then you will know, that means to take their wealth. Then you will know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, from Sunday morning, the Mighty One of Jacob. Instead of bronze, I will bring gold. Instead of iron, I will bring silver. Instead of wood, bronze. Instead of stones, iron. I will make peace your administrators, and righteousness your overseers. Violence will not be heard again in your land, nor devastation, nor destruction within your borders. But you will call your walls salvation, and your gates praise. No longer will you have the sun for the light by day, nor for brightness will be the moon give you light, but you will have the Lord for an everlasting light. Well, what did we just read in Revelation 21, 22? The Lord is going to be the light, no temple, and your God for your glory. Your sun will no longer set, nor your moon wane, for you will have the Lord for an everlasting light, and the days of your mourning will be over. Then all your people will be righteous. They will possess the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. The smallest one will become a clan, and the least one a mighty nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in the time. Okay. So, we have passages like this that have to be dealt with. That brings us to point D. Throughout the Old Testament, Israel's future is related to the land of Israel. The land of Israel. With all its boundaries. So again, they are promised the land, which if not fulfilled in the millennium, may be fulfilled on the new earth. May be fulfilled on the new earth. Alright. Point D. Throughout the Old Testament, Israel's future is related to the land of Israel, that right now is under siege, with all its boundaries. So again, they are promised the land, which if not fulfilled in the millennium, may be fulfilled on the new earth. Isaiah 60, 21, which we just read. Let's look at Genesis 17. Genesis 17, verse 8. Genesis 17, verse 8. I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land of your sojourns, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Let's look at Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66, 21. I will also take of them for priest. Well, this isn't what I wanted. Isaiah 66, oh, 22. I'm sorry, 22. For just as the new heavens and the new earth, which I make, will endure before me, declares the Lord. So this is the only statement we have of the new heavens, new earth, and it's related with the fulfillment of the covenants to Israel. Point E. The New Jerusalem will in all likelihood be indwelt by Israel. At least some of it. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10. Let's take a look at Hebrews 11, 10. It's going to be about as close as we're going to get to these two passages we're going to look at. Hebrews 11:10, talking about Abraham, for he was looking for the city which has foundation, whose architect and builder is God. So Abraham, beginning of the Jewish race, is looking forward to this heavenly Jerusalem. And Hebrews chapter 12, let me show you something in chapter 12, which we've already read, but let's read it again. 23 and 24. Hebrews 12. 23. To the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood, which speaks better than the blood of Abel. Those that are made perfect is often taken as Old Testament believing Jews. And finally, point F. Israel must have some part of the new heavenly Jerusalem, for the 12 tribes of Israel are the names of the 12 gates of the New Jerusalem. The 12 tribes of Israel are the 12 names of the 12 gates of the New Jerusalem. Revelation 21, verse 12. Revelation 21, verse 12. It had a great and high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names were written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the son of Israel. Now, if we can, down in verse 14, associate the 12 names of the 12 apostles as lending credit to the fact that the church would be there, then we would have to lend credit to verse 12 for the same thing, 12 tribes of Israel named on the gates. So, this is all that we really have. No specific verse. A lot of inferences. Could be a millennium. Could be the eternal state of the New Jerusalem. Could be that they have a fulfillment in the New Earth. There will be some on the New Earth, some in the heavenly Jerusalem. So, that's all that I can tell you. If somebody tries to tell you dogmatically, yes or no, You want to just raise an eyebrow. Just show me. Show me what you're basing your dogma on. I cannot be dogmatic, but it's my understanding of text and understanding of God's relationship with Israel, that they will have some part in the new Jerusalem, the new heavenly Jerusalem. This brings us to Roman numeral or the major point five. Yes. No, they're not in this. No. Oh, it's only the Jews of the Old Testament who were believed. The time what? Oh, in the millennial reign. Okay. For the new earth. I think that those are the ones that I that's my major point five. Let's take a look at point five and then we'll continue. Okay? Point five. If all the church is to dwell in the new Jerusalem and saved Israel is to reside in the Jerusalem, the question arises, who will dwell on the new earth? Is it just going to be there as a playland? Okay, perhaps Gentile believers of the Old Testament. All the Gentile believers of the Old Testament. We know there's multitude. Multitude between Adam and Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then you have a multitude all the way through. So, the Old Testament history of Gentile believers who believed in Jesus Christ. Perhaps they will be the ones dwelling on the new earth. Gentile believers of the tribulation. Gentile believers of the millennium. There will be nations in the millennium. And we know that there are nations on the new earth. Look at Revelation 21 a moment. 21, and look with me at something we haven't looked at before. Chapter 21, verse 24. Revelation 21, 24. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Look at verse 26. And they will bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. So God is going to reserve probably those nations, the believers of those nations during the millennium, and then reestablish them in the eternal state. So by all likelihood, these are the ones who will be in the new eternal state. Now, if the land covenant to Israel is everlasting, as we read a couple of passages implied, then it will be in the new on the new earth. They will have all that land that we now know as Jerusalem, Palestine, and all the land that's covered in the new Jerusalem. So, or in the new in the covenant to Israel, the Palestinian covenant. So, these are the questions God just didn't tell us. He did not make it that clear. So we're just assuming we know there's going to be nations on the new earth. So this may be the Gentile nations of the millennium, made up of Gentile believers all through the Old Testament during the tribulation, during the millennium. So, any questions or thoughts as we went through these passages? Any questions, thoughts? So, y'all are like John, you don't care. Yes, it is. It is. And that's why you'll read, if the writer is extremely pro-Israel, Israel's there. And a couple of these writers that I've read do not deal with. In fact, I've read very few that even dealt with who's going to be on the new earth. In fact, did I even read any? But it deals with who's going to be on the new earth, who's going to inhabit the new earth. And that probably is a wise thing, because we're not told. We're simply not told. And so getting into dogma is a dangerous place to be dogmatic when the Bible is very silent on it. But we can speculate, since there are going to be nations in the millennium, that they would be there. Okay, that brings us to next week, verse 3. What makes heaven so wonderful? What makes heaven so wonderful? And we'll start there next Tuesday evening. Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Wow. What fun this is, Father, to read of a new Jerusalem, our future home, where you will be. Your Son will rule. Father, we just thank you so much for the information you've given us on the eternal state. You've not left us in darkness. You've given us hints of glory. We can just know that it's going to be beyond our wildest dreams. It's going to be so phenomenal. Father, we praise you that you're in control of all things through time, through the history of man, in our individual life and lives, and to the eternal state where we're all going to be. You've got all that worked out, and that's our joy. That's our confidence. You've got it all worked out. You've got a place for every believer. What a phenomenal God you are. Father, we praise you. Your Son's precious name. Amen.